look at it wrong.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, then. Another episode of Let's Talk Smoke with your host, Chris Chadwick. Man, what is going on this evening? I tell you, it's been one big wild week. We've had a lot of things going on. I personally had a big day yesterday. I'll get to that just shortly. We had an awesome time yesterday in Memphis, Tennessee, down in the big city of Memphis, baby, and I tell you what, we was letting the smoke roll, and we were eating barbecue to the left and barbecue to the right, and we had a big old time. I just can't tell you all about it yet. We'll talk a little more about it here in the show, and we're going to have a good show tonight. I'm excited to be here. I just want to thank everybody for all their kind words, all their support. Especially last week's show, man, the numbers were off the chart. We had listeners and listeners upon listeners. We had archive listens, which I'm really appreciative of that because the more people listen, the bigger the show is going to be. And I tell you, I want to work on this show every week. I want to make it bigger and better every week. I want you to call in. I want you to be a part. That's what this show's about. It's all about you. Barbecue superstar, the everyday barbecue superstar that gets out there and cooks on her back deck, cooks at every cook, cooks at a cook, one cook, 10 cooks, it doesn't matter. You are the barbecue superstar, and this is what this show's about. We want to talk about BarbecueSuperstars.com for a minute. I always want to thank Daryl Mast, the host and creator of the Barbecue Superstars Network. An awesome guy. If you don't know him, you need to. He is Mr. Barbecue Super Media. Let me tell you, he's got an awesome website, BarbecueSuperstars.com. Go to that website, check it out. If you've got extra time, go back to it, because let me tell you, man, it's got pages upon pages upon pages. It's loaded full of information, products, barbecue teams, information on how to cook a chicken wing, how to cook a chicken thigh, how to cook anything you want to know about, it's right there. You can go to BarbecueSuperstars.com, search the web as far as YouTube. He has thousands of YouTube videos out there with the top barbecue people in the nation. If you see him on Food Network, you're going to see him on BarbecueSuperstars.com. He covers, that's one thing about barbecue. Barbecue competitions, the people in the barbecue world are friendly. They will talk to you. They talk to me. They love to spread the word barbecue. That's why I enjoy doing this show as much as I do. We can talk barbecue all the time. We talk it every Sunday night here. There's a whole lineup of shows every week from Monday to Friday night, Saturday night. Everybody's off. Everybody needs it that night off. Barbecue superstars included. So I want you to call in tonight. The number to call, I'm going to give you a shout-out on this number here. The number is 1-347-202-0263. I want you to call in tonight. And if anything else, just say hi. I'd love to hear from you. We've got 2 hours packed full. I do have a caller in queue already. We'll get to him in just a minute. Go to barbecuesuperstars.com. Search those pages. If you want to know something about a pit, a grill, a smoker, kitchen needs, let me tell you, it's loaded full. From A to Z, anything you need or would like to have, it is on that website. Check it out because I guarantee you will find what you need. He even has a membership. I would encourage you to join his membership. It helps him out. He travels all over all these competitions out of his own pocket, covering these competitions, interviewing people like me, like you, these competitions, spreading the word, putting barbecue love out on the internet. Let me tell you, the first time I met Daryl, we were in Tupelo, Mississippi. We were down there at a big competition, Don't Be Cruel Barbecue Duel, which is coming back around. It's almost time for that. Let me tell you, in March 15th, 16th, it's going to be on. The smoke's going to be rolling in Tupelo, and that's where it's going to be. That's where it's going to happen in March. But he interviewed me. We had a great time. Basically made a movie of our campsite, our cook, on YouTube. You need to check it out. Chris Chadwick in Tupelo, I want you to look at it just if you want to watch a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Just check it out because it was a lot of fun. We had a big time doing it. And that's what it's all about. If he's at a competition, you're there cooking, all you have to say, hey, Daryl, come over, check me out. He will bring that camera, that tripod, the microphone, and baby, it's on. So anytime you ever see him at a comp, be sure to go over and shake his hand, meet him, introduce yourself. Because he would love to talk to you. He loves to talk barbecue like me. I love to talk barbecue, and that's what it's all about. This show's about you and the barbecue. Call in. We'd love to hear from you. I'm going to cue a couple of these callers in and see what's going on with them. And we're going to start our show. We're going to let the smoke roll, and let's talk smoke. 225-448, you on the air. What's going on tonight?
Oh, man, not much. It's cold here in Tennessee.
Woo! I'm telling you. It's crazy weather. Memphis yesterday, 72 degrees. Last night, 69. And today, what is it, 35,
34? It's cold. I had to get in the office and turn the heat on.
Well, I'm telling you, this weather is crazy. Yesterday was an awesome day for barbecue. And I hope you had a chance to get out and cook a little bit.
I did.
I didn't get to cook. I did a lot of eating, but I didn't do any cooking.
I listened to the crazy weather, man, and the way I understood it, yesterday was going to be 100% chance of rain, and today was only going to be about 69. It was going to get cooler today, but it was supposed to, you know, and it ended up yesterday, it didn't rain at all, and it was 70 degrees, and today it rained all day. So, I mean, but I was forced. I had some product put out that, you know, I promised people. I said, you know, I was going to do a little brisket practice, and I had somebody say, man, make me one of those. So, you know, I said, yeah, I'll have it for you, you know. So,
we'll
when people
kind of
rely on it for supper, you know, I guess you got to go ahead and do it.
You got to do it. That's right. I mean, that's part of it. Barbecue is just like a job. I'm telling you, you commit, you have to do it. Rain, shine, sleet, snow, hot, cold, it don't matter. We in it. So we just do it.
Well, you know, today was one of those days, though, you know. It's not with my favorite cooking weather, but you know it's just something else. It's just another day of cooking and learning, and you know, like I said, the learning curve is huge in this game. And so I got to learn some things today. I you know, when the moisture's high like this, humidity's high, it messes up your times big time.
Right,
right. I mean, the meat gets done. I'm talking about these briskets come off today. Done. It was beautiful. They were 2 hours early.
Really? Really?
Yeah. So it was. I mean, that was just something, I was planning on about an 8 or 9 hour cook and a couple hours rest, and that's what I started this morning at 6 o'clock, told them to come on and get them at 5. And, you know, I was going to, you know, about an 8 hour cook, 8 and a half hours, and let them rest there and slice it up, and they'd be ready. At 6 and a half hours, they were done completely.
Man, what size were
they? I think, of course, I trimmed it and done all the stuff, but I started off with about a 15-16 pound packer. So, I mean, just the same old thing that we cook all the time. You know, sometimes they're 18 pounds or a little bit bigger, maybe 19, but pretty much the same old thing, just 15-16 pound packer. Of course, you know how I like to cook. I separate them and stuff, and, I 6.5 hours, and because I'm a gauge man, and I write this stuff down on the book. I mean, that way I know is where we could, when I'm at Tupelo this year, and if it's raining and it's a day like today, and humidity's at 98%, don't plan on cooking that thing all night because it'll be done at 1 o'clock in the morning. This is the second time this has happened to me, in one of these cold, moist days, and it happened the first time, and I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. Well, that happened again today, and I thought, well, that ain't crazy. Something's up with that. It's steaming it somehow more. It's more moisture or something. It's just steaming it.
Well, you got to go with what you learn and how you do it,
That's right.
And it's like you said, it's learning every cook. We learn a little something different. That's no doubt, and that's just how it is, folks. If you get tuning in here, we've got James Brawner on the line with us of Team Grilling and Chilling, a good friend of mine, great guy. If I'm not doing it, he is, and if he ain't, I am. So that's how it is, Just call in, give him a shout out because he is a barbecue pit master through and through, and he loves to cook and he loves to talk it. We love to talk it. That's what this show's all about, you and the barbecue. We want you to call in 347-202-0263 and let's talk smoke, let's talk cook, let's talk rigs, let's talk profiles, let's talk whatever you want to talk. I know I've got another caller in queue here. Let's see who we got, Goob. Caller 806, you live with Chris Chadwick on air. What's going on tonight?
Hey, man, what's going on?
How are you?
Oh, man, we're doing great. It's John and Cole, Smoking X. I love it.
Wonderful, wonderful to hear from you, John. Glad you and Cole's on the show with us, Smoking X. Texas Pit Masters through and through here, guys. What's going on in the Texas world right now with smoke next?
We're just trying to get the year started. It's 30 degrees here today. It's a beautiful day. It's 30 degrees, and Cole and I have been working on a lot of stuff and revamping our pit a little bit and just kind of ready to get the year going.
I'm telling you, we all chomping at the bits. We ready to fire it up. We ready to get in the competition. Circuit, we ready to cook. I'm telling you, I feel your pain. I know what you're talking about. I know our buddy here on the other end, James Brawner, Goob, y'all give him a shout out. He's a great guy. He's a pit master here in Tennessee, and we cook all the time. Glad to have everybody on the show tonight. I know we'll have more callers calling in too, but John, Cole, what do you cook on?
We built our pit. I mean, what we did, Cole is just an absolute phenomenal welder and fabricator. And
right.
We took 6 pits of guys that compete. We just took the pros and the cons that everybody had and then went back and designed ours. We started literally with an axle in the floor and built around our whole pit. And then, you can go to our Facebook page and check out our pit. We started off with a torsion axle and built everything, broke the firebox and the floor. We don't have a break. That was just an act of Congress to get that done. I know Cole was cussing me by the time that day was over, but we did that and built everything and added some aluminum slats out of a Wilson cow trailer and an 8-inch truck stack. We get a lot of looks, but it cooks phenomenal. Because the core of what we did, was the pros and cons of a lot of competition.
That's right. That sounds like a winner. I know I personally have a custom built pit. I built mine. I learned how to weld building, as a matter of fact. I didn't have brakes, and fancy welders and chop saws. I used a Makita circular saw with a metal blade in it, and you know, and just cut her up and built it from the ground up too, you know, and just made it a good cooker. And I know what you're talking about. I burn hickory. Mine's a stick burner all the way through and through. Burn hickory. Hickory slabs in the tail end of it out of my box, and you know it, when you learn how to cook on something like that, and you know what you got, man. You already 10 times ahead of the game in my book. I know Goob here on the other end. He's got a custom built cooker, heavy solid built cooker too, and it's a stick burner and it's a fine burner. Did you use any water? You use water pans or anything in your cooker?
We've tried it out on the bottom of our tank. We weren't a huge fan of it. I don't know why. It changed the profile a little bit. You know, over here in Lubbock, it's a pretty dry climate. So you know, the moisture would help, but I don't know. It just cleans stuff up, and we just really didn't like it. So we don't really use that much.
Right.
But ours is not pellet fed. It is a stick. You know, we burn a lot of mesquite because. Good Lord, we got tons of it here, and you know, some other different styles of wood, but it's a lot of fun, you know, and we built our firebox. The one thing everybody told us, and I mean everybody, was don't cut your firebox, don't cheat yourself on your firebox, because, you know, you may run into some stuff where you need a little larger stick in there, and the wood availability and stuff like that. So we didn't, and boy, I tell you what, it saved us in the long run by not, you know, shortening or cutting down on our firebox. Ours has, you know, a little bit more bigger moat. It's really worked great for us.
Right. Well, you know, I agree with you. You know, being able to put a bigger stick in there, a bigger stick burns longer, and it does help a lot.
It helps you get your coal base built faster.
That's right.
My smoke box is 21 by 31 by 31. I mean, I can put some logs in there. I mean, I can put all you want to pick up and put in there, is, you know. But what it does, it doesn't take you as long that you've got that bed of coals. I mean, in an hour, I can have a bed of coals in there just, you know, and just keep laying them right up on top of them bed of coals, and you know, and it works great. I'm fixing a building you cooker in. And, you know, and it's going to be a different size than the big cooker, old Mo. I'm going to make one of them, try to make me just a rib cooker over on the side. And, you know, I'm not, like I said, I want to be able to burn the same size wood in both cookers, you know what I'm saying? And so it may have a smoke box on it as big as a cooking chamber. So.
Well, that's on ours. We built ours, and it's I believe it's 28 by 24. 4x24, and it's a pretty good size. And of course, you know what everybody else told us was just that a lot of people end up with oversized wood, and so you'll be at cook-offs, and occasionally somebody will just give you wood because they don't have a box big enough to burn it in.
Right. And that was Tennessee, it's rain. I'm talking about, well, we've got the rain that y'all, I don't know if y'all were getting in love of it, but just the rain that comes through Louisiana and stuff like that, it rained, you know, like 3 or 4 or 5 inches today. And my cooker, I've got a roof over top of it and everything, and I cooked brisket today. And, you know, it sat right out here and, you know, was able to maintain, you know, here in this afternoon, you know, in 40 degrees, wind blowing 15, 20 mile an hour, maintain, you know, 40 degrees temperature, you know, outside 2 feet, you just rocked and rolled, just like basically the summertime.
Man, I would love to tell you that ours does the same thing, but I'd be lying to you. Ours, I tell you what, we did a rib shootout last year that we're doing again this year. It's February 9th right here in Lubbock. And we cooked along, and, you know, and then all of a sudden the wind changed and the temperature dropped 15 degrees. And you've never seen guys hustle to start throwing wood into the pits like we did that day. I mean, everybody dropped. I bet 20, 30 degrees in 10 minutes. And, in fact, if I remember correctly, they pushed back turn-in time because it screwed everybody up.
Really?
Well, I would have been one mad competitor, you know, because I'd be honest with you, I built mine and got it with the intentions of being able to spend out there. If it was snowing so hard we couldn't see it, I would still be trying to get as close as I could to money. You know what I mean? And built it with that intentions.
Right. Well, we just block ours in weather like that, or you know, look for something. You know, there's a few trees out here, believe it or not, in West Texas, and so you know. But you, sometimes you end up in these parks where it's just wide open, and I'm telling you, in our part of the world, it's flat, you can be trucking along, and this, I mean, get a 60, 70 mile an hour wind, and it changes everything, and it can change in 10, 15 minutes. You know, now that doesn't happen every weekend or every day, but.
Right.
Well, when you're looking along, you know, brisket and ribs and everything else, you know, it's not like you're judging the weather by an hour. So, I mean, you may have 10 or 12 hours into this where you need to really watch the weather.
Well, I don't know if you heard Charlie while ago that I've done brisket today in this weather. And I was telling Chris, this is the second time it's happened to me this winter alone. Am I still on? Hello.
Hey, yes, sir.
Okay, and I was doing a brisket day, and this humidity, it was 98% humidity today here, and all this rain, you would think that slowed everything, the process down. The meat got done 2 hours early. That's the second time it's happened to me this year, you know, and it was just where I got caught cooking in some nasty weather, and, you know, just not in competition, but it was a heck of a learning thing right there. I thought, man. You know, we go off this spring and stuff and start our next fall, just count on it. You know, that if it's the humidity side and it's raining, you're gonna get done faster than normal.
You know, that's
maybe
crazy.
2 hours.
That's crazy. You'd really think it would be opposite of that, and you'd have to extend your cooking time, really.
Right.
And, you know, and what can you say? You know, you got to live it and learn it. That's how I've done, ever cooked. We live and learn something every time.
Right. I think the way that Omo was built here with the roof over top of it and with the bunkhouse right at the back of it, when it gets warm in there. So in other words, when I get him warmed up, cooking 250 degrees, my environment in there is making its own heat. So my environment in there is, say, 70, 75. Well, with the smokestack sticking out and your firebox sticking out from underneath there, it's allowing it to draft that moisture through there. You know,
right,
it's sucking this old moist air right up into the firebox, which is just doing nothing but making steam humidity, and it's blowing it, you know, just right across, it's going rolling right across that meat and back out, you know. And
right.
That's the only thing I can expect it, you know, I mean, it's steaming it so much more that way, you know, and I've got water pans of mine, but even, you know, it's even doing more than just the water pans, you know.
See, I don't use that water pan, so. You know, personally, I don't use a water pan either. Mine's not set up for that. But I tell you, the weather, cold, it doesn't matter if it's 20 degrees outside. My box is actually a little bigger than yours, John, on length. I can actually burn something a little longer than that, about 32, 34 inches in width. You know, so I've got a pretty deep box. But I'll get a thick bed of coals in that box, and if it's raining like, we had a big cook at Tyson Cook and Martin that night. It rained and stormed all night. We filled that box full and let her burn, and she didn't drop a degree. I mean, she just rolled through the night. And that's one thing. And I'll tell you, I don't know. You said you had a big stack on your rig. Is it turned at the top?
Yes, it's dog-eared at the top. And let me tell you something that we learned. I mean, pure accident. And that is the genius of coal. Ours is an 8-inch truck stack off of Peterbilt. I mean, it's a big stack, and it's dog-eared at the top. But the smoke doesn't hit that stack is more for show. That it's got an inner stack up until about the last foot of the stack. So really, our stack is double-walled. And let me tell you what's nice about that double stack that we just never dreamed. I mean, and nobody saw it. Until I realized it would do this until the wind changed on us. We had a wind just absolutely do a 180 on us at a cook-off. Our smoke will not back up. Ours will draw if you have the dog ear straight in the wind.
Really? Really?
Blowing it to the bottom.
Man.
And everybody looked at that, and it's pure accident that it was built that way. But, you know, we did that so we could turn the stack, you know, so it would be with the wind or against, you know, with the wind so we could, you know, draw better.
Right.
But sometimes the wind will start whipping around a building or up against a tree or line of trees or something, and that wind will do a 180. Well, ours will keep drawing. Ours will keep rolling smoke, and it starts blowing it out the bottom of the stack instead of the top.
Huh.
And I'm telling you, I've never...
Yeah, that's a cool deal right there now. I mean, that's just, like I said, you stumble across it, but, I mean, that's the way this business is. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, y'all got Jane and Gary out there, and everybody's making some awesome pits nowadays, but there's still stuff you learn just every time when you fire up on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning, and you're just going to get you some practice in, a little comp practice in and stuff. You're learning stuff, man. I mean, man needs him a playbook out there. He needs to be writing that stuff down because you will forget it. But that's awesome. So that's a good little hint. I can't do it on old Mo, but my new cooker, the wire I'm going to build on the side here, I'm going to call it Mojo, and I put it on Mojo, so I appreciate that little hint.
Well, let me give you one more that I was going to suggest. Now, do you have a dampener in your stack?
Yes.
Cut off flue?
Yeah.
All right. One thing that I'm going to do, my stack is I've made it directional where I can spin it. If my grill is set one way and the wind is blowing against it and it's back in through my stack, I can pull a pin and flip it around where it's in the opposite direction.
Yeah, and then ours is the same way.
So my stack swivel around, you know, I'll swivel it around all the way around if I need to keep it. You know, I just thought that would just help so much. You know, in mine, if the wind's blowing in it, it's gonna affect it. It's not a double wall stack, it's just a plain single wall stack. But I think that's gonna help a lot this year in the cooking because I've had a couple cooks where that wind has just been played teetotal cane on it, and if I would have been able to swivel that stack or turn that grill where it was, it would have worked much better. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Well, and that's, you know, when we put ours together, we put our damper just right there between, right where the stack comes out of our tank. And,
right.
And then it makes a 90-degree going up. And like John was saying earlier, the pipe coming out of the tank, it runs up, just a foot short of the top of the stack. And then our... the stack, it just free swivel. Just was able to stack stuff up, and so I mean, you can just turn it, make it go with the wind, and real easy to operate.
That's that's what it takes. That's what I really firmly believe to have a good pit. And us as independent cookers, we've got our teams. We're out there busting our butt to get to go to a cook. And we're building our own rigs, and we're building them for us to use, and we learn at each cook what we need to change up just a little bit, and all these guys out here building your own pits, if it's a 55-gallon drum and you're cutting her up and laying it on the side, you just learn that stuff from experience in cooking. And, I'm all for everybody that wants to build their own pit, I'm a self-doer, I've always done everything myself pretty much, and that's just, I look up to guys that build their own, do their own, make it work. That's us in barbecue. We're going to make it work regardless of what we've got. We're going to make it work. If we had a grocery cart and a tin can, we're going to make a cooker out of it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, don't mark some of those guys down that show up with a goat and an onion, because I guarantee you some of those guys can cook. We cook like with one gentleman, another group, the Potbelly Smokers, that's Stan and Josh, and that's really who really got us kind of involved in this. And Josh built his, kind of his pit, backyard, I guess. And there is,
right.
I'm going to tell you something fancy about it, but I tell you what, don't underestimate that boy, because he will throw it on you if you're not paying attention.
That's right.
I know West Texas what is his name? I just went blank. Lance Moore, he built his
Lance, yeah.
The West Texas Pitmasters, that's it.
Yeah.
We compete against him constantly, too, and I tell you what, he don't lay down and pretend like you're just going to roll over him, because I tell you what, he built his pit, and, you know, he's got
just
music, a little party hanging out with Lance, you know, so we all
that's
kind
right.
of part there. But it's a lot of fun because Lance, all three of us built our pits. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing against us, against people that buy them. You know, one of the guys that we compete against up here, Outdoor Chef, they sell them. You know, Ray Barnes
right.
has been a nice guy to us. He's helped us out some. He sells some pits. I'd love to, you know, build a fort some of the pits that he has.
You know,
the first time he saw our pit, he said, oh, crap, now everybody, I'm going to have to start stocking truck stacks. Now everybody's on when they see, you know, after they see yours. But, it's funny. When we roll up, there's tons of people tapping shoulders and, you know, staring because our pit just doesn't look like anything else. But it's a labor of love, buddy. I'm telling you. We put a lot of time and effort, and there's a lot of 30 packs that went into that pit.
I understand. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's a labor of love. I mean, this anybody thinks you just go to a competition and just go drink beer and cook something, and they're wrong. They've never been. They don't have a clue what it's about, especially, you know, we spend all this time trying to build us a pit we're proud of. You know, there's a lot of nice pits out there that I'd love to have, you know, but I'm thankful to have the one I have. You're right. It's a labor of love, and that's what it's about. You've got to have that old passion for the barbecue to want to go do it, you know. And you constantly bettering yourself, changing up, doing this, doing that to make it better. And you know, that's what I admire about all these teams, all these competition cooks. These teams will get out there and they hump it and bust it and make it work, you know. And they put out some fine product. I mean, these competitions. Now, I went on a prowl yesterday in Memphis, Tennessee, to find some good barbecue. You know, and we went to several spots, and I was really surprised at what we were getting versus what we do. It's completely different. You know, I mean, commercial, yeah, but you know, I figured it was going to be really. I was really looking to be surprised and pleasantly surprised, so to speak, you know, and expect some fine food. And, you know, it's just a lot different than us competition guys that cook and make this stuff just the very best it can possibly be, you know. And, you know, I just take my hat off to all of us, you, Keith, all the teams out there that are doing just a top-notch job on competing. You know, it takes a lot to go compete, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of work, and quite a bit of money. And, you know, in Texas, it's no different than Tennessee. We just constantly trying to improve our cook, and that's what it's all about. What actually got y'all cooking? You know, what started smoking eggs? You started cooking with someone else, and then you finally branched out to make your own thing?
Cole and I are avid hunters, and you know, of course, there's always campfire cooking and this, that, and other and stuff, and like I said, Potbelly Smokers, they're out of Lubbock also, Josh and Stan. They got us in it. Josh is a good buddy of mine and Stan also, and they invited us to a couple cook-offs and just kept saying, dude, you ought to compete, you know, and of course you're doing birthday parties and this, that, and other and having people over, and they're like, dude, you ought to compete. So, you know, next thing you know, we're starting to save up some scrap metal and found us an axle and some other different stuff, and we started building a pit. The whole time we're going and watching them, and of course, you know, guys like that, they weren't stingy. You know, of course, they're not going to tell you everything, but they'll kind of get you rolling a bit. Just super nice. I mean, the first cook-off we did, they said, no, we saved you a spot. Get your butt over here, set up. We're going to help y'all out, you know, and they did. That's kind of what got us rolling. I mean, we're kind of new to the sport. But at the same time, the first time you start walking up here to get your awards and stuff, the highlight of our last year is we grand championed an event, and the Potbelly Smokers reserve grand champion won. And then when we walked back, and we couldn't believe it. Cole and I were just on cloud nine. And I walked back to Stan and Josh, and I said, so I guess y'all are done helping us. We're never going to get any more advice. And they just said, well, see you next weekend. We're, you know, y'all are going to park next to us still, you know, aren't you? And we, oh, of course, yeah. You know, so we still sit next to them. We're still super nice. We got to us, Lance, I tell you what, he's been super nice to us, some other guys, you know, around. But that's what kind of got us rolling is, you know, getting invited, us starting to build a pit. And then, you know, the first two or three cookoffs, you know, we didn't get the walk, but we were just happy to be there. And then all of a sudden, Cole and I just started hitting a lick and walked pretty much every cookoff or grand champion every, you know, after that. And, it, you know, once you do that, it's not crap, man. You're done. You just, you're not able to start getting your calendar ready.
Yeah, that's right.
You,
hang it
you
up. You're in
the rabbit dogs for long.
That's right. You know, once you walk that first time, your name gets called. You know, I don't know about your wife. My wife, she understands it. She's pretty supportive of me. And Goo's wife, she cooks with him. And mine goes and cooks with me some. She just don't like that staying all night deal. But, you know, once you get in it, you know, it's on. It's on from there. I mean, we just... the bug has bit us. The smoke is rolling. It's in our veins, and you know we just can't help it. I mean, we're gonna talk barbecue. We love to do it. We're gonna go cook, and that's just part of it. You know, on all my shows, I always try to recommend someone if they've thought about wanting to cook. You know, you've always got if you know somebody on a team, you can ask them to go with them. You know, I've had people go with me before, and you can always ask somebody because that's one thing you hit on a while ago. When you have a competition or if you've got friends, they're going to help you. They're not going to tell you everything, naturally, but they're going to help you and be there for you anytime they can be. And that's the way me and Goob are. We usually side by side at cooks. If we're not cooking together, or we're side by side, you know, and if I'm winning, he's happy for me. If he's winning, I'm happy for him. But we love to have a good time, and that's what it's all about. You know, it's a friendly competition, you know, and we just have a great time with it.
The camaraderie with the whole deal, just, you know, you never run into anybody that is just mean or anything like that. Everybody's always, you may only see them two or three times, but it's like you've been best friends forever. But, you know, that's always nice, is especially when you're at some of these things and, you know, you don't know that many people there. And, but, you know, two spots down is somebody that you cooked with 2 weeks ago and all of a sudden y'all are back to being best buddies.
Yeah. You ready to go to another comp and hang out with them again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that is so true. You know, we talk to, you know, I love talking to you guys from Texas. You know, we've had Lance Moore on here time and time again. He sent me some of his rub. He's got a killer rub out there. It's just a good rub. I enjoy it. And I'm wishing him all the best with that. You know, Lance Moore people, West Texas Pitmasters, if you're looking for a rub, look him up. Give him a shot. Try it out. I guarantee you're going to like it. Lance is a great guy, too. Robert Sierra, Pitmaster Robert Sierra, SNS Pit Crew, Gabe, those guys, they call in too, and I wish them the best. They've got a good smoking team also. You know, guys, I just always want you to call in anytime because we just have a good old time here. And we talk pits and we talk flavor profiles. What is, that brings the next thing up, you use mesquite a lot. You know, a lot of other guys usually say they're using post oak. Use mostly mesquite and some post oak. You don't use post oak in your neck of the woods, or you just have a big mesquite supply.
We just have a lot of mesquite in our area. You know, we use a lot of hickory also. You know, that's just, you know, you cook with what's around. You know, you're dealing with some poor folk out here in Texas, and you know, I don't have the money to ship a bunch of stuff in and stuff, so neither does Cole. So what we do is you know, we find the deals. We find out who just got a semi-load of wood in and go see if we can, you know, rob some off the truck before they start unloading it and get a better deal.
It's just
a lot of fun, you know. I mean, we're extremely low on wood right now, so if everyone wants to donate to the cause, I'm sure not going to tell you any no. But,
I hear you. We take all calls, don't we?
Fire up, and we better have a heck of a pile before we get started. But, you know, a lot of hickory, a lot of mesquite, and like you said, you know, we get those coals just really rolling and have a good base. And that's mainly what we do. Of course, you know, you're always trying to get some fruit wood if you can. There's not a lot of that around here. Now, there's some great...
Right.
Some orchards around, and you know, I got a lead on some grape wood today that I'm trying to follow up, see what I can come up with. But you know, that stuff just works good on ribs and stuff like that, but really not so much on brisket. But you just try to get what you can come up with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah, I hear you.
Well, usually the way I do it, I go out to the sawmill. We have a sawmill, have several around, and I go buy bundles of slabs. And I take them.
I'd love to see there's not one 300 miles here.
Really? You know?
Yeah.
Mine's right in town, a few miles down the road. We go load up a couple big bundles of slabs, bring the chainsaw up, cut them, and stack it, and we're ready to roll for several cooks, you know, about $40 worth, and we're good to go for half each season cooking. And, so that's, you know, I guess we're real fortunate on that.
Well, we try not to buy any more than we have to because, you know, when you end up buying wood, then, well, we'll spend $20-$30 a weekend just on wood.
Really?
And, I mean, once again, you know, we have mesquite trees, but with Texas being majority of private land, unless you know those landowners, those kind of things, it's not, you know, I mean, you can't just go start cutting it down.
No. In Texas, you'll get shot doing that one.
Well, especially in Texas, if you're not carrying a gun, they'll issue you one.
There you go.
But the thing
that's
about
the way to be. Carry that hog leg on the side.
Finding the right wood is what was key for us because, I mean, we can go cut a mess of mesquite this weekend.
I mean, it's
delayed,
you know, before, because I don't know if you've ever cooked with green mesquite before, but it, you know, it gives your meat a little bit of a bitter taste.
Well, all your green wood, if you cut it green, you know, it'll make a different bits of oak and hickory over here. They're not.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you've got to be on top of your game and have better been doing it for years and years and years because you're going to get a crisp taste. You're going to get that char nasty, that nasty taste, that nasty smell smoke, you know, because the green, I mean, it's just, you know, very few people that I know that's been doing this for years and years can even mess with green, you know. I cut my own wood. I use slab wood. I mean, I don't use slabs like Chris is doing. I mean, we actually use split wood. And but what I'll do, we'll go get some trees on the ground or storm damage or something like that, and I cut them. Like right now, we got trees on the ground right now to be cut up or already cut up, and I won't use those trees until, you know, another 2 or 3 months, and they've already been on the ground for 2 or 3 months. If you give them 6 months, they're all right. But as far as it, you just going and getting, say you're going to go put you're going to go cooking, and you go out and cut. Don't make any difference if it's mesquite or whatever, you'll get a funky taste in your meat. I mean, you can't help it. It's in the bark, if you know what I mean. It's in the bark, I think, or something. You know, I don't know, really.
We totally agree with you. That's the trick with us is, you know, finding wood that's usable. And then, then hammering out to the right price. You know, I mean, we can sit here and talk about rubs and temperatures and how long and stuff, but... You know, sometimes it's the thing that you don't think about the most. I mean, it's the thing that you think about the least, I guess, is the wood. Who'd have ever thought that wood would be a huge factor in this, you know? I mean,
right.
A lot of people...
Oh, if you're doing it in a big way, if you're going to, you know, try to pull off 20, 25 comps a year, and then when you're not, if you're like me, and like I said, I'm burning wood. Of course, if you're using charcoal, you're spending money. But, I mean, I'm using wood, so, you know, I'm going through a tremendous amount. you know, today I cooked some briskets, you know, for just, you know, Dustin custom cooking to sell. And, but, you know, actually you got to think about, you know, how much wood, if you're only doing one or two briskets, or you're only doing one for somebody, or you're doing 10 or 15, you know, it's the same wood, but if you're not, if you're just cooking somebody a brisket because they want one, and they call you and you charge them extra, you can think, you know, $5 of that, you got to add $5 to that for the wood. And because that sounds crazy, but if you're out of wood, you're out of business. And if you're out of wood, you can't go to the comp.
Well, and that's, you know, that's one situation you want to, you don't ever want to be in, is where you're cooking, all of a sudden you look down and you don't have enough wood to finish.
That's
and
right.
But you know, and that's another big part of it is, you know, I've built a you know, I've built three or four smokers for different people. Just actually got done building one for my dad. You
right.
know, all of them are different. All of them cook a little bit different. And, you know, the first time you cook on them, you'll go through a lot of wood. Just trying to figure out, you know, where you can set your adjustments, your airflow and all that, where it will stay at that constant temperature for a good while. And, you know, once you figure that part of it out, you know, you really don't go through that much wood. When you
right.
can let it sit for, you know, 2-3 hours and never add anything to it.
My cooker for on mine, and let's just say a 6-inch split, you know, 6 in the back, just, you know, off of a, say, a 16-inch log. I take to do, say, if we're doing brisket and shoulders and hefty and got plenty of warm-up time stuff, say, if I'm going to be running the cooker at full throttle, say, for 12 hours, I take about 18 to 20 sticks of wood, all I take. That and it, I can keep it full throttle for that long, and that's plenty. And I'll always have, like, just I've done it so many times. I'll bring home 4, 5, 6 sticks. And if you do run into where you're going to run into a lot of wind or something like that, those four or five sticks will get you out to the end. Because also that's not moving your what I call the throttle. I'm not using my damper at all. Once I've got it set, when I've got a bed of coals and I've got my damper set, I try not at that point then to touch it the rest of the day. And I feed the wood to it because mine's indirect and my cooker's square and it's got sliding front doors instead of raising the whole lid so I can exit. And then my burner's over off the side. So anything that you do with heat, as far as losing heat, you don't really lose no heat. You can slide the doors open, look at your meat, and your temperature won't vary 5 degrees. You can just stand there with your buddies and look at it. You know, it'll go from 250 to 245. You know, on your system. I don't never do that, and that way I can feed it. I can put one of those sticks in there just about every hour. You know, I look at one stick and it's a little small. I may have to put two sticks in there. But that's the way I try to run my cooker instead of, because if you get down, what my point is, when you're getting down to the end of the cooking, if you do start running low, you can always pull that damper up and add a little bit more air. You know, I mean, you've got enough coals. That's why I was saying I build a big bed of coals. I've got enough. Coals that actually last 2 or 3 hours of the cook, I can just start pulling my damper out, say, every 30 minutes, about a quarter of an inch, and still run that 250 degrees for another 3 hours before it ever goes out.
Well, I'm gonna bust pokey bubbles. My cooker is not efficient. I have to take about two trees with me. Get a extra truck, just take the wood, and we're throwing sticks in that bad boy, and we're letting the smoke roll, and we're burning some wood. Now I'm telling you, and we just have a good time, and it seems like we're always throwing a stick on the fire, you know. And you know what they say: if you're looking, you ain't cooking. So we can't be looking.
Yeah.
You don't need to be opening that cooker looking.
Well, like I said, that's the way mine's designed, though. With the sliding doors, you're not losing any heat. I mean, you can open it. No smoke comes out in your face because it's just going to keep running right on by. I can open the door. We can stand there and say, well, and I can run a meat probe in there and stuff. And we'll not. I mean, you can leave it open and wrap your meat and stick it back in there and not fluctuate 10 degrees,
right.
15 degrees.
Yeah,
you can be sitting at 250, and it may go to 235. But I can shut the door, and before I can probably go get back in the chair and sit down, it's back to 250.
so I know it is pretty efficient. Yours is.
Our temperature will just, the bottom will fall out if you leave it open for 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, it'd be like starting over for us, but.
Really?
You know, given the nature of the beast. But, you know, if we open it up, mop stuff, and throw the lid back down, you know, we might lose 5 or 10 degrees, and then give us less than 5 minutes, and we're going to be right back where we were. But the way our door is hinged and the way, as far as the door up, we have a huge door because our plans were to add a second rack. We have a really big door to accommodate that second rack that, you know, we're hoping to put in the next week or two. And like I said, you know, our Facebook page, you know, and take a look at our pit. You know, if you got any questions, well, Cole, I'll tell you kind of where we're at on our stuff, how we built our own hinges. I mean.
Yeah, I hear you.
We built the thing, I mean, from zero. And you can see in some of the pictures, you know, we've got 4 or 5 racks of ribs and a brisket and a couple chickens. I mean, it'll hold quite a bit, but our tank is like 36 inches by, I think, 6 foot. Our whole pit from the whole trailer isn't a 6 by 12. So our pit isn't huge, but, man, we can stack some stuff in there. But the way the door's set up, if you sit there and try to roll smoke, you're grilling, you know. You're not smoking.
Right.
Well, Cole,
right.
You might think of this now, the way my cooker and I fixing to call it Omo, because, I mean, it's just like my brother. I mean, I talk to it and kill it my problems, and then sometimes it's bitching and it's telling me his problems and stuff. But anyway, mine's a 31-inch barrel, and we cut it half in two and then come up and square the top of it. So the top of my cooker is 31 deep, 31 high, and it made it a, you know, a rectangle shape. Well, see, now you can put all the shelves you want to it, just like you can put 3 shelves in it if you want, because it's square, and it's got sliding doors on it where when you open the door, all your flue system and everything's in the center of the barrel. And my flue doesn't go out the top. It goes out the other end of the barrel. So when you open the door, instead of smoke choking out in your face and everything, it just, I mean, you can sit there and watch the smoke just go right across the meat and right out the other side. And your heat, too, see, it doesn't fall out. With the square design like that, you know, and then from about 3 inches from the top, we left the metal. So when you slide that door open, the heat is trapped up top. It just don't cough out on you. You know, it just stays in there and runs.
Just like a chest, like a box cooker. Like a box cooker.
And I mean, it just, you know, we just got lucky. It was just a very, very, very effective design, you know. And the new one, the Mojo that I'm fixing to build, it's going to come just straight off the same pattern.
I mean, it's going to be built like it.
Yeah. It's going to be built just like it. We're going to cut it, put the square box on it and everything, but say I'm on it. For like sprits and ribs and stuff like that, and they got big, you know, for we can get over there and I can do two different things. It's got two different things going on, not affecting the same smoker. You know what I mean? I can put my stuff in there, stuff that I'm fixing to try to turn in and make me a paycheck. I can put that stuff in there, and then I've got stuff over here on their own little separate world, you know, talking about doing the mesquite or doing the apple wood or something like that. I can be burning apple wood over here for my ribs, you know, and letting hickory or oak go over here for the, you know, from shoulders, you know, and don't, you know, just trying to tweak it, just trying to make it a little bit better, you know.
Never cook, that's right, you know, working smarter, not harder, you're trying to design your grill. That does
that's
sound,
right.
You know, when you know, that's just part of what we do, you know, when we just keep building and building and building and changing, and that's the thing about, you know, us building our own, if we want to change it, we can change it. You know,
right.
And that's all right. You know, that's what it's all about. If it's Tennessee,
or you can pawn it off on somebody and build you another one.
Well, yeah, you know what? And when you do that, a lot of times if they go and cook against you using your old cooker, they're gonna beat that ass.
Well, I don't mean that. No, what I'm saying is, I don't mean that you're trying. You know, I know about the cooking business. It's not gonna be a bad cooker, but if I can see it and stuff like that, instead of going out and spending $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 for a Jambo or something like that, all I got to do is grab me up some more metal together and get my saws out and stuff, and you know, I can sell that and build me another, you know, instead of having to come up with another house mortgage.
Well, you know, that's what, you know, we could talk cookers and cookers all night long. I mean, I couldn't, you know, when we build our own, we take pride in what we got. We enjoy our cookers. You know, yours is a head turner. Mine's a head turner. You know, we all of them are head turners. You know, especially, you know, my buddy says, I just love pulling your grill around town because everybody's looking at me when I do. So that's a compliment to me, you know. So.
Yeah, I was looking last year in Tupelo yesterday when I was filling out the ads and stuff and getting ready for this year, and I went back to the photo gallery and there was old Mo. I didn't even know that it was in the photo gallery. It was somebody slipped around there some of them slipped around there and took a picture of it.
That's good when you go to these competitions. You got people out there snapping shots, you know. And you go to their website and you see your rig on one of the pictures posted or something, you know.
Oh, yeah, makes you proud. That's right.
It does. But let's change the subject. Let's change gears right here. Let's change temperatures and let's see what we want to talk about. A few categories. You know, I know what we do here, and I know a lot of the guys do in Texas. What is y'all's strongest category? I'm gonna. Before you answer that, hold on a minute. Let me give a quick. Let's take a quick break. I'm gonna invite everybody to call in. We've got three new callers in queue. I'm gonna try to get these guys on. It looks like the Salt from the Sky is with us tonight. It looks like Fire Report's with us, and we've got another caller in queue down there. And let me see if I can take any of these and. I want everybody to call in, 347-202-0263, tonight live with Chris Chadwick. We've got Smokin' X Barbecue Competition, barbecue team right there out of Lubbock, Texas with us tonight, John and Cole, and we've also got James Brawner, a.k.a. Goob, with Team Grilling and Chilling, right here at Tennessee Pitmaster with us in the house tonight. We're just having a great time. We love talking barbecue. That's what it's all about. We've been talking pits. We're going to bring up some flavor profiles, some favorite categories, maybe pass out a few hints and tricks, a few helpful tips. There's no telling what we're going to say, what we're going to do, not with this bunch of guys, I can already tell. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to try to get a couple callers in. And see who we have here. Let's see. We're gonna try to get Roy on. Let's see if we can get Roy on. And
hey, Chris.
Hey, Roy. You with us?
Yep.
How
I'm
you
here
doing tonight? How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too
good,
bad.
Good.
How about yourself?
We're good. We're good here. We got a big packed house tonight. We've just got a lot of things going on. We're talking cookers and pits. I know you've got a custom-built rig, too, and we're glad to have you on. We'll get you in a conversation. We got a comp team out of Texas with us here tonight, some great guys, and we got Goob in the house with us, and I think we've got Pirate Pork on the line also. Pirate Pork, you live with us. I don't know if he's here with us yet or not. We've got 731-609 number. You're live with us, too. Who we got there?
Hey, you got Cousin Ed. What's going on, Chris?
Cousin? I thought that's who that was. How you doing tonight, Robert?
Doing good, man. You're killing me yesterday. Following you on the web, watching you eat all in places, man. I was
man.
Wanting to break away. Get on
I'm
the road.
You should have. You know, we had extra room in the car. You know, everybody was welcome to go with us. I mean, we was hitting it and getting it, son. We would go to one, order it up, eat it, and roll to the next one, you know. And, I mean, we were hot on the trail of the barbecue in Memphis, Tennessee yesterday.
I was cleaning grills yesterday, Chris. I got to start off my year in Little Rock next weekend, and I had Hogzilla, it was still dirty. So I was out there all day cleaning grills, but I'd come in and I'd follow you. I'd follow along and watch you on the web.
Well, we had a good time. You know, it was me and Cody and Shane Greer.
Yeah.
He was with Team
Two Saw Support right there out of Memphis. You know, they compete a lot. They compete every year at Memphis in May.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I don't know him personally, but I know of him, and they good cooks, good cooks.
And he was a fine fella, too. I was proud to meet him. We just had a great time yesterday. We eat a bunch of ribs, a lot of barbecue. Just had a good time and just made a whole day out of it. And we was going to try to finish it up at Memphis Barbecue Company last night, and we ate so much barbecue. We stayed on the road. We were just it just wore you out. I'm telling you.
And, you're like a chicken on a hound dog, wouldn't you?
That's right, I'm telling you. What they want to say, you know, I really don't want to say it, but what they want to say is I squalled.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad y'all come to town. And, you know, I'm a little critical of Memphis Barbecue, and I'm more critical about the commercial joints. But there are some places that I like to go that kind of – I couldn't even tell you the name of some of them. I just know where to go to, you know, down around and get one on Rains. And,
right,
you know,
right.
I love barbecue, but I just don't eat it, especially at the major chain commercial establishments.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, I tell you, we had a lot of OKQ yesterday. We had some good ribs. I mean, we had some fine ribs right there at the barbecue shop on Madison.
Right.
That was some of the best ribs I'd had in a long time from a commercial place.
Really?
Now, let me tell you.
Really?
Yeah, they were.
Did you find any brisket, Chris?
No, I didn't.
Did not find brisket.
No, they just didn't want to talk much. You know, they had it, but they didn't want to talk much about the brisket.
Really?
Yeah. It just wasn't a big brisket. That wasn't a conversation there at the piece in Memphis, Tennessee. Ribs. Mainly what we got was baby backs everywhere, and we had St. Louis style at the barbecue shop. And let me tell you, them were some of the finest St. Louis cuts that I'd ever had. That rack of ribs was fine. I mean, that was cut perfect. He said that was a Hormel premium cut, and I didn't know they made such a thing, but it was a fine rack of ribs, and it had the right kind of flavor. It was soft. It wasn't dry. It was just really, really some good stuff. But, we really enjoyed it. But we had a good time just going all through Memphis, going prowling around all them joints, meeting all the owners, talking to the people. You know, we just felt like we kind of felt like old guy does, I guess, on Triple D. You know, we kind of felt like celebrities yesterday. They'd all want to come up and talk to us. And
yeah.
We kind of felt like somebody yesterday, I'm telling you.
It's just good to get out and visit some of those places, and like the one the guy said on Facebook, you know, back off the beaten path. That's where really you're gonna get some terrible barbecue, and you're gonna get some awesome barbecue. I lived out towards Bolivar, but I come through, you know, 64 as well as 57, and you know, I tell you what, Wolf River down there puts out a good sandwich. It's just a little old shack. But,
right.
You know, they put out a good sandwich. It's not, you know, it's not a competition barbecue, but it's a little shack, and you can go get a really good sandwich, barbecue sandwich, if that's what you want. And some
right.
days when you anchor that bad boy, that's all it'll do.
Well, 20 years ago, a little old shack was commercial barbecue. Now it's kind of, now they've got them in shopping places and everything else. But, you know,
oh, yeah.
10 years ago, you know, just a little old shack on the side of the road, I mean, a 20 by 20 with, you know, a couple old dudes chunning back and wheeling outside, leaning there in a chair, or looking at a pit. That was commercial barbecue.
Well, I tell you what. I tell you what, that little old lady there at Payne's Barbecue, you know, that was right downtown in the center of downtown Memphis, I'm telling you. And she had, you know, she had her saucepan, was about an old three-quart saucepan. Just an old beat-up old saucepan. You could tell that she made that sauce every day right there on that old gas stove right behind her, you know. And she had that old cleaver, and she could chop them ribs and chop it, and I was really surprised. Most of the places serve chopped barbecue instead of pulled. You had to request it to be pulled instead of chopped.
That's true.
And they all served it wet. The majority of them served it sauced.
The deal is with that, see, they're probably pulling their shoulders, pulling their butts. They're probably pulling them 170, 175, maybe 180, instead of running it on up to 200. You know,
right.
If you pull it, you know, in other words, like sometimes I slice my money mate at 175, and it works fine for that for a slice. But you know, when you're standing there and you're trying to pull it at 175, you know, it ain't gonna pull worth a crap.
Well, I tell you. She took that old meat cleaver and she chopped them ribs, and I mean, she didn't miss a lick. Right between them bones, chop, 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 chop on that old cutting board over there. Chop, 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 and it was on, I'm telling you. You know, could tell she's done it for 30 years. You know?
They don't want to make Mama Payne mad now.
No, bless her heart.
She knows how to use a cleaver.
I'm telling you. But, you know, we had a great time. We got to, you know, talk to a lot of different people and eat a lot of different styles. It was amazing, the different styles from, you know, them six joints we went to yesterday, how different all six of them were. None of them were similar. And we just had a big time. It was just fun. You know, we really, you know, it's just something I encourage everybody to do if they ever get a chance, just to go out, two or three of you get together, go to a big city and hit some of the joints around, you know, and just try it out, because that's what it's all about. You know, we can do that in Tennessee. We can do it in Texas. I don't know about many other places. Kansas City, probably. You know, it's just something I'd recommend everybody to do, especially barbecue lovers. But we had a good time. We did. You know, we had a big time. And we'd really want to do it again.
And that's how you learn.
That is. It sure is.
You learn a lot by going in there. Talk to some of them old timers, folks that ain't worried about getting on fish rations. You know, it's just the type of episodes that's what they do. They don't know anything else. So, you get out there and you talk with them, you learn about their sauce, you learn about their methods. Hey, they ain't going to be there 30 years if it ain't
right.
Good.
That's
you know,
right. That's right.
For 30 years,
that's
if
exactly
it ain't
right.
Good.
We got another caller. Let me see if I can get this caller in. Hold on. We got one more caller coming in. Let's try to get them all in. I like to get everybody in every time they want to call. If they want to call in, I want to get them in. So we're going to try to key this other caller here and see what we got. Maybe we can get another one in on with us right here. They're all changing up a little bit here. I think we got Pirate Pork on the line with us, too. Pirate Pork, you on there with us?
Hey, what's up?
Okay, what's going on? We got a house full tonight. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. I think, how did your ribs turn out? You had to cook this weekend, didn't you? Didn't you cook some stuff up?
Yeah, I cooked some ribs up for some friends and family. It turned out pretty good.
You're still learning that backwoods a little bit, ain't you?
Yeah, that's what it was all about, just getting the timing down and trying to figure out. Been getting them all done, so I had to hone her back a little bit and try to get them right. Did a lot better this time.
Well, good. That's good. We want to hear about that in just a minute. I've got another caller in queue. We're going to see if we can get them in live tonight with us, 806-292. Who we got?
Hey, Chris, it's Lance. How are you?
Hey, Lance. Good. Lance, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Good.
We got Team Smoking X with us tonight on live on the Chris Chadwick Show, too. We're glad to have all you Texas boys around.
Good deal. It's about time for them West Texas guys to get out there and get to doing a little bit.
I'm telling you, I like all my Texas brothers calling.
I've got a question for you and Charlie. It's something I done today, and I thought, well, am I making a mistake or not? I done some custom cooking brisket today, and When y'all custom cook something for somebody and stuff, do y'all slice it for them, or do you just let them have the product and let them slice it?
Generally, if I have my way about it, I'll let them slice it. You know, I may knock a corner off of it so they know where to slice it at.
Right.
But generally, I try to let them slice it. You know, I'll trim it up and stuff for them. You know, as a matter of fact, I had one last night. I took people and they were going to eat it right then, so I went ahead and sliced it. But, you know, if it's going to sit around for a little while, I like to slice it. Just absolutely have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't slice one if somebody planned on coming and getting it at 5 o'clock, you know, 5 hours later. But,
But my reason was behind it is living over here where we live in Tennessee. If I hand somebody a brisket in a tenfold pan, they're not going to know basically what to do with it. Because it's not what we do. You can pull it and everything, but it's better, sliced and stuff and better product to me. So I sliced it and covered it, and I made them burn-ins. I mean, to me, a burn-in on brisket is the money. I mean, I ain't going to have burn-ins. I trimmed it and done the burn-ins for them and sliced the rest of it. I thought, I hope they don't mess it up. But, you know, like I said, they were here to get it within 30 minutes, and they were going to go home and eat on it. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, and I normally will do that. I have a lot of guys, though, that, you know, they're going to eat it for dinner or something like that, and so they're going to, you know, warm them up. And when I get in that situation, I try not to slice them. I'll take a corner off, and then I'll kind of give them a little direction on, you know, what to do. I'll usually go ahead and pull the point off of it and have all the fat trimmed down and everything. So all they got to do is just kind of slice it, and they're done. But, if they're expecting to eat it, absolutely slice the thing up. Makes it look good. I'll put a little juice back down in there just to kind of keep it wet and looking
good.
That
was my next question. What is the best way to hold brisket? You know, overnight, next day, what have you found that's worked better to keep it the juiciest, and not letting it dry out?
Well, I'll tell you, and something I got into just here a while back. I was doing a prime rib for a guy, and you know, I was doing it like on a Friday or Saturday, and they weren't going to eat it until on a Tuesday. And I'd heard about it many a time, and something I never had really messed with a lot. But you take it and vacuum seal them down.
Right.
When they're hot, get some juice up in it, vacuum seal it down, and then you know, take it and put it when you go to reheat it. There's two methods. You get the water boiling and just turn it off and just let it just kind of sit back in there and heat back up. And a lot of people also use dishwashers. They'll put it in the dishwasher and let the heat off of it just kind of steam it.
Right.
And I did a piece of meat the other day and I tried it, and you can't tell the difference.
Well, like nice. So I done exactly right, because what I told them is they didn't have a baking sealer, and I think he does. But I told him if he didn't, I said, what I would do is take a couple of, and that's what I told him to do. I said, put your 6, 7, 8 slices in a Ziploc bag, take you 2 or 3 tablespoons of beef stock or beef broth, and put it in there with it, and then smash your hair out, and freeze it, and then when you get ready, what I told him to do is kind of just slice, open the bag up, put it in the microwave on deep broth for about 5 minutes. Just anything to heat it up. So that's what I told him. I do that personally, and that's what I do. When we're cooking one, my wife and I, Miss Lisa and stuff, we're cooking them, that's what I do. You know, I vacuum seal them, and then, you know, and just put them in there, just cut a slit in it, throw it in the microwave, 5 minutes on defrost, it's rocking, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, I could tell you
just,
my secret,
just
but I'm not going to tell you mine.
Yeah. You know, and there's probably several other ways, you know. You know, the first time, you know, with microwave, I never had been a big fan of leftover beef a lot of times, because it always had a, after it had been cold, you heat it up, it always had kind of a funny taste to me. And I have a guy that has a barbecue shop here in Plainview, and he does chopped beef. And the first time I went in there, I go in and work with him quite a bit. First time I seen him, he was heating that stuff up in the microwave, and I was like, oh, that's got to be terrible. And as long as you don't do it too long, you'll never know that it's heated up that way. You know, that don't get rancid and stuff. And
turn the power throat down on like 4, the power level down on 4, and throw it in there for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes and check if it's not where I want it. Throw it in there a couple minutes more. But as long as you turn that power level on, you know, you can hear your microwave kicking on and off, and if it ain't kicking on, you know, it ain't cooking that much. It steams. You just kind of open that package a little bit, or put a slice in it, it'll kind of just blow that bag up and steam it, and, you know, it's good to go.
Well, you know, and I did turkeys that way this year. I got into a situation where
I had several people that were going to, you know, eat them later on. And I had one lady bring me about a 24-pound bird this year to do. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do with
that lady going?
And so I thought, well, okay. And I went into, as a matter of fact, I went into Walmart looking for some bigger roaster pans and stuff to handle this thing. And I was walking down through there, and I was just kind of messing around. And I got to thinking, I thought, man, you know, what about a big roaster bag, you know, that they put turkeys in?
Right.
So I cooked the turkeys, and then I put that roaster bag in when they were warm still and poured all the juice down in them and then told them, you know, to put them back in their oven, cut a couple of slits in it, and warm them back up. And everybody I had told me that that was the best turkey, and it was moist and tender and juicy as it ever was. And I thought, well, there's a new way of doing it this year.
See, everybody out there in radio world wanted to know. You find out
that's right.
Let the smoke go.
That's right. You know, live and learn. You know, that's a lot of experience right here with all you guys. You know, there's a lot of cook experience. People don't realize there's a lot of cooking experience right here on the line tonight. If you'd like to call in and ask these guys a question, they're all pros in their own sense of the word. They've got comp teams. They get out there. We cook. We compete monthly. If it's not 2-3 times a month, you know, we compete all the time. We love to cook, and we love to share information. Really, we do. And if you'd like to call in 347-202-0263. We would love to hear from you. I know we've got a lot of listeners out there tonight. I mean, the show is just, it keeps growing and growing and growing, and I'm proud of that. You know, we work hard every week to give you a good show, and that's what it's all about. We want to keep getting bigger and better every week. We want callers. We want thousands of listeners every week. We would love to have you call in and just say hi. But we're cooking. We're talking hits. We're talking turkey cooks. We're talking brisket cooks. We're going to talk ribs here in a little while. We're going to touch base on some ribs, some techniques from some Texas pros to Tennessee pros here to Colorado now. We're going to get everybody to give us all a cook tip from their team, and I think everybody will be willing to do that. And we're going to talk some more flavor profiles, especially on these ribs. Chicken is just always up in the air. You know, here we cook pieces. Texas, they cook halves. So it's a little different. So we're going to talk it all. We're going to try to get it in. We've got about 40 more minutes live on the air. A lot of callers. We've got several in queue. We're going to try to work in here shortly. I mean, our phone lines are blowing up, looks like, tonight. And we're glad everybody's listening. We're going to go back to smoking eggs now, and I'd asked them a question a while ago, and they've been patiently over there quiet listening, and it's their turn. What is your favorite category, your strongest category you like to cook at a comp, and give us a little tip on that?
Yeah, I tell you, ribs and brisket is where, you know, our money maker. Chicken, and maybe we're good, I don't know, it's a crapshoot for us.
Right.
Of course, IBCA, we cook a lot. There's bean category, and that's just a lottery ticket with us, beans. There's been towns we cook the same beans, and we don't do anything. And then the next weekend, we get first place in beans. I mean, beans are just, you know, roll the dice. Chicken
right.
With us, we keep playing with it. We've even smoked some beer button chicken. You know, the ribs, we've done real good with this. So great, a lot of pain. But, you know, the whole thing is, too, is, you know, Lance, he's got a rib rub out, and I cooked on it right before Christmas. I bought some rib rub from old Lance. That's the one I was really surprised. It was really good. I understand why he's just spanking us on ribs now. You know, only competition, get ready, Lance. You know, we've been tasting and testing today, and we've got a rub coming out. We haven't, you know, started packaging yet, but, you know, we've just tested today. You know, the next thing will be, you know, a brisket rub. You know, brisket and ribs have kind of been our moneymaker. That's what puts us, you know, just lets us walk a little bit. The chicken, and, you know, we changed ours up quite a bit with chicken, but the whole thing is with chicken is
is we just haven't found our niche, we haven't found our groove. We've tried several different chicken profiles. The species is thinner every time, but I don't think that we have the taste. It's just a smoking axe taste yet. Phil and I work hard on it, but you know, it's kind of a roll of the dice for us.
Right. So on brisket, what's your favorite brisket, and what size do you try to stick around? What kind of weight?
11 to 13 pounds. That's where I like to stay with that brisket. We buy from a butcher shop. I can call in and he'll cook, he'll cut exactly, you know, what I asked for.
Right.
The ribs, man, laugh at me all you want to. I go straight to the supermarket and buy them in a shrink wrap, and there we go.
Right.
But the ribs that we buy, with the brisket, we're a little more thick with the kind of guy that really helped us out. And he actually cooks, and then on fiction took off, but he actually does some cook-offs, puts one or two on a year. He butchers exactly, and we call it again, and this is what we're looking for. And we're cooking this weekend, and he has it ready for us.
Right.
Some people call that cheating or not, but, you know, if you're looking for a certain thing, you know, because you go to the supermarket or you buy some places, you know, maybe a Select or a Prime or Lance, you know, just really grilled me one night about 2 o'clock in the morning after several beers while we were cooking, you know, grilling me on our brisket. And it was friendly. Yeah, there was nothing bad about it, but he just said, dude, this is what puts you over the top. You need to know everything. Where was it butchered at? You know, Waterhouse did it come from? And it really worked out, and I really started paying attention. So just going and buying a brisket, I went and really started paying attention and talked to some people and really hammered down on what we were buying for a brisket to cook. And it's like flipping a switch. I mean, it's like flipping a switch with a...
Well, we hadn't cooked a lot of brisket. You know, that being pretty much about the toughest piece of beef on a beef. You know, you just didn't think, I didn't personally think, you know, there's a lot of difference because you're going to cook it so long, you're going to break it down about the different qualities, you know, when I first started cooking. And I can see there's a little difference in there now. Now, what kind of temps do y'all usually try to keep yours going at? You know, I'm personally a hotter cook. I like to run mine around 275, 300 any day of the week, if not a little hotter. I've always cooked hotter and a little faster. You know, some people just square up and down by 225, 250. But I just go with how I feel that particular cook, and I like to cook mine a little hotter.
Well, we start off 225, 250 at the most before we get our internal temperature to a certain point, and then we wrap them.
Right.
And run the pit on up to 200 or so and top it off until our internal temperature, you know, reaches a certain point. Take that biscuit at 20 and get them sliced up, ready to turn in at, you know, 180, 190. Laugh at us if you want. We cook them a little hotter. It makes it juicier, makes it more tender. If you're rolling the dice, you want a piece of meat or where you're buying your meat, you can buy the same store every week. But if, you know, if they're buying it at different places every week, we need to get a different cut, you know. Really paying attention to where your meat's coming from. And make sure you need different to find out absolute key for us.
Right. Well, now, let me ask this. This goes to all the Texas cooks out there. I know, you know, like some of us cook them, we cut them apart, cooking the point and the flat different. And usually around here, everybody just trims theirs down, basically skins them out. Which I'm a fat man, I like that. But, you know, a lot of times around here, KCBS especially, they trim that old fat pretty much just skinny, just a little bit of fat. Now, I notice in a lot of the Texas cooks, the pictures that I see a lot of fat cap on them. You don't do much trimming to yours, do you? Or do you?
Well,
should be the same. I ain't got one that weighs 2.5 and got one that weighs 3.5. And I do the baby backs because I feel like the judge, when he opens that box up, and if it's not a professional judge, this judge, 100 comps, if it's just, you know, if it's the captain of the police department, he's maybe never ate a baby back because they cost a little bit more. You know what I mean? So when I'm trying to win some money, you know, to take home, you know, put fuel in the truck where I can get back the next week and buy me some more meat to go cooking, I cook the baby backs because I feel like when they open up, go, these are going to be safe. And if they're good, I think mentally, subconscious, they're going to give you a little bit more than they will that same book. And I just feel that way.
Well, I agree with you to a certain extent. You know, a good set of St. Louis style, I mean, a really good set. Like I had yesterday, matter of fact, when I knocked Yogi Socks. I mean, I was really shocked. But let's go on down here to Roy. It's all from the Sky Barbecue team. Roy, what's your favorite category? Your strongest category, and then give us a pro hint on what you're doing.
Well, my least favorite category is the chicken. I
didn't
say that
much.
Now, my favorite one, probably, I mean, you know, like everybody else said, you know, I both, you know, placed with, you know, the pulled pork, and I placed in the ribs too, but I've got a call on brisket. So, you know, that's like my three favorites, but the best one out of them three would probably have to be ribs.
Right.
You know, going, you know, what Goob was talking about with the spares or the baby backs. I actually cooked, you know, baby backs at the contest there in Clarksville and actually placed fourth out of them with them. So it seems like, you know, I've done better with the baby backs than I had with the spares. Yeah.
Well, I understand. I do. I really do. And we're going to go down here to Lance. Lance, chime in on us here. What's your favorite category? Are you strongest? And then what do you like to do the most of? Spares or baby backs?
Well, my favorite is probably brisket. My strongest is probably fried chicken and ribs. That's where I seem to usually make my money.
Right.
I'd much rather cook brisket any day of the week. But if you're talking about competition, it's chicken and ribs for the most part. And I can usually do pretty well. Of course, you know, we're doing the half chickens around here. It's a little different. You know, and then also, you know, with IBK out here in Lone Star, we can't cook baby back from competition. It has to be a pair. And so I generally knock them down to St. Louis and, you know, kind of make them look like a baby back as much as you can, I guess, would be the thing. And even in the Kansas City stuff around here, most guys are cooking spurs.
Right.
It's what you said. I mean, if you do the spare ribs right, they're pretty hard to beat.
You know, when a spare rib will lay better in a box, too. It makes a better presentation. When you cook it down baby back, and then you've got a good straight bone, a good thick piece of meat, you're going to make a good box out of a spare.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a good-looking appearance. You're going to have the tenderness. But that's the thing about a spare versus a baby back. That old loin back's a little tender. That meat's tender, more tender. You're going to cook that spare a little harder. But you don't have near as much chance as messing that spare up as you do a baby back.
No, that's exactly right. Baby backs are critical. I mean, you know, sometimes 15, 20 minutes on a baby back can be from a good rib to a real bad rib.
Right. No doubt about it. And you know, that plays a big factor. It sure does. And I like a baby back. I like to cook baby backs. And you know, going down to Memphis yesterday and trying all those different baby backs and then getting that St. Louis cut was just so, it was a big relief to get that St. Louis cut because it was so much better than all those baby backs they were trying to cook. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy baby backs.
were you saying that the spares that you had yesterday were a Hormel? Is that what you were saying earlier?
Yep, the spares that we had that was Saint. Well, actually, they weren't spares; they were Saint Louis cut. They were Saint Louis cut Hormel premium cuts.
Yep.
That's what the owner that told me. They were premium cut Hormel spares. I mean, St. Louis style. They weren't spare ribs. They were St. Louis cut already. Premium cut. So
I've cooked a case of those once, and the case I just happened to get, of course, you know, when you're buying by the case, you don't get to kind of pick them
right,
out, and I got
right,
a hold
right.
of them. They were good-looking ribs. They were just real, real thin, and I didn't have much meat to them. And it was the only thing I didn't like about them. I mean, the rest of it, I mean, they had good marbling and everything else. They were just so thin, though. And they were a St. Louis.
I guess it's a toss-up because, you know, the ones that we had yesterday, I mean, was a nice cut, big, you know, good meat on them. And it's a toss-up. You know, I usually order my ribs by the case. And usually they're going to be Hormel or Swift premium. Baby backs is what I always cook when I do my cooks. And that's going to be a whole nother show, so y'all get ready. We're going to talk about how all these barbecue teams constantly are doing private cooks and catering. You know, most of the teams that do this for a competition, they also cater. So that's going to be a whole nother show. And we'll get everybody to chime in on that because, I mean, that'll be a whole nother two-hour segment right there because you just have so many. I see on Facebook all the time where you have cooks out there. They say, hey, we're going to cook this weekend. You let us know what you want, how much you want. Getting a little feedback here. Give me just a minute to get my customer over there. But you know, I think that'll be a good show just because you have so many different guys out there doing some different things. They're all catering a little bit. I know personally I do some catering. I know Goob does some catering. You know, when you get into it enough, you're going to do some catering, no doubt, because you'll have somebody willing to get you out there to do some catering. Keith, we're going to come down here to Keith Webb, Power Report. Tell us what's your favorite category, your strongest category, and then tell us about that and your ribs.
I think brisket's my favorite. It would be my strongest if we did it any around here. What little bit I have done of it, I've done well in it in these couple of competitions I've done it in, but we don't get to do it enough, so. But it is my favorite. That's pulled pork. I don't do as good at it as I used to for some reason. I may have to check into that this year and see what's going on with it, but it's still one of my favorites and one of my people that like my food, it's one of their favorites. Ribs, I got a little better on them at the end of last year, so I'm working hard on them this winter to see if I can't get them on up there and keep them there. And if I'm cooking them, I just assume I have a spare. That's just my preference. I did baby backs this weekend because I do that during some of the competitions, but I tend to like the St. Louis a little better.
Well, now, you know, a lot of times, you know, I've ordered some St. Louis ribs, and they're always a little higher than spares, but it seems like the St. Louis cuts are going to be a little better cut than a spare cut up St. Louis style to me.
Yeah,
it might not make
so.
Any sense, but they might select those ribs and take a larger rib to do a St. Louis cut. I enjoy a rib. A rib is a rib to me. I enjoy them all, personally. But I like to cook baby backs when they're a good thick cut or a St. Louis cut. My favorite category, which I've always been strong in and always place in, is pork. But I personally do a shoulder versus a butt. I don't do butts. I haven't cooked many butts at all. I always do shoulders. And I like a good wet rib. I cook more baby backs than I do St. Louis spares. But
pork's going to be my favorite category. But this year in the TDA, we're working on some things, and before everything starts up, especially all these small cooks from town to town, we have a lot of those. And I think the TDA will be a good sanctioning body. And we're going to introduce a beef category. And right now, it's kind of in the air, but we want a beef category, but we don't want to limit it to brisket because it's going to be a 5-pound minimum cut, whole cut, that you have to cook. And we're going to include loin and tenderloin because I think a good brisket cooked right will stand up against any kind of beef loin there is, in my opinion. What do y'all think about that?
Well, I assume the Texas boys. I'd like to know what they think about that. But we've discussed the 5 pounds. But you know, they just cook more beef. They cook more prime rib and brisket and different cuts of fillets and
What do y'all think?
I'm interested what they think about it.
So in our beef category, we're not going to limit it to briskets because brisket's a fine piece of meat cooked right, and I think it'll stand up against a ribeye 5-pound cut or a strip cut or a tenderloin. What do y'all think about that?
Man, that's a tough one. Brisket is very good, but, man, a good ribeye, too, is pretty hard to eat. You're right. I mean, a brisket, if it's done right and it's tender, I'll tell you one of the best things that I love. And, like I said, I've got a friend that has a barbecue shop here, and, he'll do about 60 briskets a week. And he'll smoke them for about 7-8 hours, and then we'll go in and we'll pop the points off for them.
the points were the points are candy. That's like making. That's the candy. And I think that a point will stand up. That point, a good flat cut right will stand up. It takes a little technique to cook it right. It takes a lot of technique to cook a brisket. But, we want to open the beef category up is what our ideas were. And that's what I was really concerned with, opening it up. Maybe limiting it to a sirloin or just as long as a good 5-pound piece of meat.
Well, Lance, that's like me, and a lot of people, if I'm cooking, there again, I do different things. If I'm cooking for a custom cook for somebody and stuff, and we're doing brisket, I leave it whole. But if I'm competition cooking, I separate them. I love that point. I mean, I work on that point, the flat, I'm going to run the flat, and it's going to do what it's going to do. But that point, I can do things with that point. And, and when you're talking about competition versus you're feeding the public and stuff, well, there's good parts. I mean, ribeye is, a good ribeye, prime rib, something like that, that is just all, it's off the chart. But, he's not going to eat the whole thing until he gets that one good piece of fat marbling in his mouth and stuff. But you can take that point and clean that point and dress that point and cook it and bake it and love it. And every bite, he's only going to take a bite out of it anyways. You got to have that wow factor. You can live on that point. And I'm telling you, if you can get it right, that point, you can turn in a burn-in, put him 6 burn-ins in that box.
People don't know that.
You'll have a hard time finding 6 good pieces of ribeye to turn in, to beat that point.
Right. Well, it's kind of tossed up in the air right now. But, we're working on that. We want to just open the beef category up and just not limit it to the brisket, but we don't want to add too many categories in the same, in the same breath. I know the IBCA, you have the beans, the wings, the beef. You're adding you have the pork, right? Or is that's not a category, really, is it? Pork, shoulder?
Yep.
Just the ribs?
With IBCA, it's typically brisket, ribs,
we'll do some, you know, half chicken. Some will be wings. Nearly all of them will be beans. And that's typically your categories. And then sometimes I'll have it open, you know, just to kind of see everybody just cook whatever, and they'll have a cook's choice.
Well, you know, it's just right now it's just kind of up in the air. You know, we just try to want to open that up, and we're going to have a chef's choice or backyard category to go with that, and we'll open that category up too. You know, we just want to try to be a little different. You know, have some style, have some different style to what we're doing. A little flair. You know, we want to be different. You know. Instead of everybody doing the same thing around here, you know, chicken ribs, pork.
And also, by doing the beef like that and stuff, and, you know, of course, everybody knows that you and I are to do a lot of the TBA and stuff, and have had this discussion. It also opens up your culinary skill. If you're doing nothing but cooking chicken thighs, or you're doing nothing but cooking spare ribs, you know, you can do this for 5 years, and you know what? You'll be good at doing chicken thighs, and you'll be good at doing spare ribs. But it's open, like the beef category, where you can do a prime rib, or you can do brisket, or you can do this, or you can do that. You know, it also, in the long run, will probably make the people that's participating in the TBA sanctioned cooks and stuff maybe a little bit stronger culinary. You know what I mean? As far as being able to go out and do a cater, or being able to do you know, different things with the industry other than just go cook chicken thighs and ribs.
Well, you know, it's an idea we're working with. We want it to be a cook friendly environment. We want it to be cook friendly rules because, hey, you know, that's what it's all about. The cooks. I mean, we're all cooks. We want it to evolve around us. You know, we want it just to be kind of organized. We want it to be organized for us as a group entity, and we enjoy doing that. And that's, you know, I just think the beef is going to open it up a little bit. And we just, you know, I just think it's really good to try to open it up. That might get a few more people involved in the beef category, too, since simply because we don't do a lot of beef categories. So, with that all being said, we just hopefully it's going to be a big advantage to us to have that. I'm really excited about that. This year we're just going to do all we can to make it really big and grow, and just, you know, we want it to benefit everybody. That's why we do it. That's why we started it, and that's why we worked so hard on a lot of this stuff. So we're just going to continue to work it and make it happen and make it work. Now, what about Pitmasters tonight? You know, it comes on at 8 o'clock tonight on Destination American Channel. It is going to be, it's Kentucky tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's North Carolina.
Oh, it is North Carolina? Okay.
Yeah, North Carolina tonight.
Okay. I really hope some people post some stuff about that. My satellite, I don't have that channel now, so I've not yet got to see Kansas City, and I really wanted to see the North Carolina and the Kentucky. I really want to see Kentucky for sure. I'm supposed to go to Kansas City this coming weekend, go down there and go to the KCBS event and meet up with Blues Hawk, and we're supposed to have a good time this weekend. We're going to see if that happens and see how that works. Also, there's several friends got some things going on this week. We're going to be praying for them and making sure that just all our best wishes and prayers go out to them for all their things that's going on this week. We're going to be behind them and support them all we can. That's for darn sure. But, you know, Pitmasters, I know, Roy, you submitted a Pitmaster video. I have not yet got my video together. I know I need to get off my butt and get it done. I'll probably wait for a couple days before it's time to turn it in. But I'm going to try to work on one. I noticed Southern Crunk has one on. posted that. Matter of fact, earlier today, they posted one. I hadn't got to watch it yet, but I'm really curious to see what that looks like. I'm curious to see some posts here about 9 o'clock about what's going on in North Carolina. Because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, when it's barbecue, it's Tennessee. When it's brisket, it's Texas. You know, and all in between. You know, Texas has always been known for their brisket, and Tennessee's always been known for their pork. And Carolina's has been known for their vinegar base, mustard base. Kansas City, good sweet, thick brown sugar base. Texas, what is your basic base as far as a barbecue sauce? I never asked that question, and I really don't know. What is what do you shoot for in a barbecue sauce in Texas, guys?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. I'm trying to get you and John and Cole. What do y'all use for a barbecue sauce? What do you like? Do you like it sweet, thick, vinegar based? What do y'all use, basically?
Well, I just started trying to put something together just a few days ago, and I've always been a big fan of a vinegar base.
Right.
Because a vinegar base really makes the taste buds pop, and so, you know, that's kind of what I started out with, and I've, you know, added a little bit here and there. But, you know, this is really the first time I've even started playing with it. But, you know, kind of like John said, I like a barbecue sauce. It's like the sweet and the hot all together.
Right.
You know, you really want your heat on the front side and the sweet to cool it off on the back side. And that's kind of what I
look for. Right. Well, here we use most of us. You know, I use a vinegar base. When I think vinegar base, I think chicken. You know, just naturally chicken. I think something sweeter and thicker. I'm thinking ribs and something more of a tomato base.
Yes.
Vinegar bite. You know, then I'm thinking pulled pork. So. You know, and I like heat in all my categories, but sometimes that heat can slip up and really set them on fire. You got to be careful with that too.
I'm trying to find something where, like I said, I've just started playing with it, but I'm trying to find something that is just an all around good barbecue sauce. You know, if you want to put it on your ribs, you want to put it on your chicken, it's something that goes good with everything.
Well, you know, a good one sauce that's pretty tough. It's hard to find a good one sauce. But when you do, man, you'll be spot on because sauce, you know, you just, like yesterday when we went out on the prowl in Memphis for all this barbecue, everybody had a different sauce. And I'm going to tell you, nobody had a good sauce. None of the sauce was really good. One place tasted like it was Kraft with vinegar in it. You know, just basically use Kraft and wet her down with vinegar, and that's what it was. One of them tasted
like...
Well,
you'd be amazed how many of those joints are like, you know, there's a few, I'm sure, that don't, but you'd be amazed how many of those joints are just got, you know, they're buying it in a gallon jugs or the 2 gallon jugs or Baby Ray's or,
And
maybe they may change it up a little bit to try to call it their sauce, but, you know, it may be, you know, Casey's Masterpiece or, you know, it's a commercial thing. When you're, you know, when you're cooking for the, you know, you're rolling the numbers out, like where y'all at last, you know, if you're cooking the meat and you're cooking it right and you're being an honest pit master, you're back there, you're not just setting an electric, you know, probe and going home and going to bed. If you're actually back there smoking some meat and trying the best you can do, you run out of time because you're using so many pounds of rub a day. You're using so many gallons of sauce a day. You're using so much wood a day. You're using so much meat prep, so much processing, so much, you know, that a lot of times they give up on, you know, they ain't got a grandmother or a meemaw or a wife like I do that can stand over there and actually make the salt.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they just
buy. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
You know, whatever Gordon Foods got, U.S. Foods got, hey, you know, give me 5 gallons of that.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's just sauce is a whole nother subject. You know, I make my own, and there's I love barbecue sauce, but to some in places that barbecue sauce they had was just not good. You didn't
really
want to eat it.
You can tell the difference. If they hand it to you, most of the time that you're getting if you get in a place, they put a little sauce with a cup or something like that. But if you're actually asking for their sauce, if you get my sauce or you get your sauce or get Delano sauce or something, it's going to have a label on it. It's going to say grilling and chilling. It's going to say Hog County. It's going to say Blues Hog. If they hand it to you in a styrofoam cup and they're not proud of it, it's something that they poured out of a jug in the back.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with you there.
When you're handing it across the shelf and stuff and you're putting pride in it, you're going to put your name on it.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. And I take and use mine. I cook mine all the time. Seems like I'm cooking sauce every week. Guys, we have about run out of time. We'll start with John and Cole up here with Smoking X Barbecue. If y'all want to give a shout-out real quick. Your name on Facebook, your barbecue team, just shout it on out and go Lance and Keith and Roy and then Fire Point. Y'all just hit it real quick, and we got about 2 minutes, so y'all go on and start it up.
Well, we certainly appreciate you inviting us to join the show today. It's Smoking X on Facebook. Find us, like us. We share pics of everything we do. We tell everybody where we're at, what we're cooking. I'm highly pleased to meet John Reeves on Facebook or Cole Smith on Facebook. You can find us through Chris's page also. So, you know, we appreciate the opportunity to visit with y'all, and you know, we're very humbled. We don't even feel like I grew up with 90% of y'all, but, we appreciate giving us.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Lance, just a real quick shout-out there, brother.
This is Lance Moore, West Texas Pitmasters. You can find us on Facebook under West Texas Pitmasters or even on our website at www.westtexaspitmasters.com. I enjoyed it tonight, guys, and glad to see there's more Texas guys getting on here. We'll just get it going.
I like it, too. All right, Keith, you with us there, brother, real quick.
Hey, it's been grilling and chilling. Everybody that I do know me and we talk to and stuff, I wish y'all would keep me in y'all's prayers on Wednesday. I've got to have a colon surgery for colon cancer. So we're going to make it and everything's going to be good, but I wish y'all keep me in your prayers. Y'all can find us grilling and chilling on Facebook, James Bronner Facebook, or go to Tennessee Barbecue Association and find us on there on Facebook. Thank
you. Sounds good, Goob. All right, Roy, you with us there, brother?
Yeah, hey, this is Roy Powell, Salt from the Sky Barbecue team. New to Colorado now, so hopefully get some more Colorado listeners once we get in touch with a few people up here. You can check me out on my personal page or my team page at Salt from the Sky Barbecue.
Thank you, Roy. All right. Power Park, you own.
Keith Webb, Power Park. Same thing, get us on Facebook under either name. Like us on there, keep up with us, see what we got going on.
Guys, I sure appreciate all of you calling in. It's been a pleasure to talk with all of you. Thank you very much, and I hope you have a great week. And, Goob, you do have our prayers. Our thoughts and prayers go out with you for Wednesday morning, and we will be calling and checking on you. And anything we can do, we will do. And this is Chris Chadwick for the Chris Chadwick Show, Hog County Cookers. Look me up on Chris Chadwick on Facebook. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless. And we will talk again next Sunday. And also, my daughter wants to say a shout-out to everybody real quick. If I can get her over here on it, here she is.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for calling into my dad's show. It wouldn't be the show without you. And the smoke roll, like my dad always says, keep the tire like the fire.
All right. You know, she had a special caller today. She had she got to talk with Melissa Cookston today. Melissa invited her to come cook with her.
And
awesome.
I thought that is, you know, Cody was down at Memphis Barbecue Company, and Cody called and said, "Hey, is Presley around? We've got a caller here wants to talk to her." And she had a conversation with Melissa Cookston, and she invited her to come cook with her. So she was excited about that. And so, you know, it's a small world. Barbecue world is a great world, and you got a lot of good people involved and wanting to help each other, and that's what I like about it. If the whole country would act like we do at barbecue, it would be a better place, no doubt. But thank you all again for calling in, and we look forward to talking to you next Sunday night, all right?
Thank you.
All right, see y'all later. Have a good night.